Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. You can watch us live on Facebook or YouTube. Just type in Today's Issues, Today's Issues there. Steve Jordahl joins us now. Good morning, Steve.
Hey, everybody.
How are you, sir?
It's a good day here in Mississippi.
It is.
Yeah.
Now, where's that hurricane going to hit? Louisiana, Texas, Mississippi?
The hurricane.
Which one?
We've got Marco is looking like it's going to be a tropical storm. What? Did I say something wrong?
No, you said, just go ahead and say the name of that hurricane again.
Marco?
Polo.
Laura? Oh, I get it. Yeah.
Excuse my friend. He's a little slow.
So, Marco is going to hit. It looks like it could make landfall somewhere around New Orleans, maybe as early as this evening, but it's scheduled to be a tropical storm. Laura, its twin, as they're saying, looks like it could be a Cat 2 hurricane that is looking to strike kind of somewhere around Texas-Louisiana border as a Cat 2 sometime on Wednesday. And they're a little worried about him.
About her, Steve.
About her.
Now, and so, but now Laura is supposed to hit like Louisiana, Mississippi, you said?
Well, I'm looking at the Weather Channel map right now, and they've got the eye going. It's... I'd say it looks like it's right about the border, west of Lafayette, Louisiana, and east of Houston. So somewhere right around the border. The Marco is. It looks like it's going to hit straight on to New Orleans.
Isn't that a much diminished? I mean, yeah, it's. Is it still even a tropical storm?
It is currently a tropical storm.
Okay.
But they're saying Laura could strengthen to become a major hurricane.
Yeah. I'm not sure what Laura is now.
Named Laura. Huh? There should not be a hurricane named Laura.
It doesn't strike fear in your heart,
no.
Does it?
No.
Laura. Yeah, no. Laura
should be like
is
Jezebel or.
You're leaving because of Laura?
Laura is currently a tropical storm just south of Havana.
Yeah. Havana.
Yeah. Having a little fun here, but it's a serious matter, especially for those who live along the coast. Anytime a hurricane of any, especially you're talking about a potential two, is that what you said, Steve?
Could be. They're looking at a possible Cat 2 as it hits land.
Yeah. All right. Well, we have a lot of listeners in that part of the country, Louisiana, Texas.
Indeed.
Along the coast, Mississippi, Alabama. But so we'll pay attention to that. But you're saying that's Wednesday? You say
the map shows it could be sometime Wednesday when it makes landfall.
Okay. Next story, Steve.
I've been keeping an eye on the convention, the Republican convention. They're doing a little different than the Democrats did. They are in the process of nominating President Trump right now. All the states, they're doing it kind of like they used to do it before the pandemic. All these states are getting up and saying, the great state of California, home of the Golden Gate Bridge, and all these things. Anyway, they cast their votes. Right now, as I am watching, it looks like Florida is up, and they are going to put Donald Trump over the top. He needs 1,276 votes to be nominated. It's of course perfunctory. He's gonna, you know, there's nobody's voting for anything else. But as of right now, I believe right as we speak, he is garnering the nomination for president of the United States for the Republican Party.
I never saw this coming.
No, I know, it's a shock, right? Well, it's interesting. I want to talk a little bit about the difference between the two conventions. I know you guys mentioned the lack of the word under God in the pledge a couple times during that convention.
Yeah, you okay with that?
No, I'm not okay with that. But I want you to hear something else. This I'm going to ask Brent to play was the announcer at the Democrat National Convention. He's presenting, they're going to play the national anthem. And he is going to explain why they're not seeing that they have a bunch of kids on the screen, apparently, and they're not social distancing, they're not wearing masks. And he explains that these pictures were taken well before the pandemic. But then listen to what he says as they're going to play the national anthem, cut 9.
Many of the videos and pictures you're about to see were recorded before COVID, which is why the kids are not social distancing. However, the audio was recorded over the past month. You may rise or kneel if you are able, per your preference.
So they're telling folks to either stand for the national anthem or kneel.
That's right. Whatever their preference is, they're all behind it.
Where was this?
This was the Democrat National Convention last week.
Oh, yeah, they're woke. Huh?
You know all
they're the... They're so woke, they never sleep.
To me, it's such a stark contrast. I know you guys spend a lot of time on the violence plaguing Portland and now Wisconsin and such. I have not heard a single Democrat come out strongly against that, certainly not Joe Biden. Yes, perfunctorily, they say we don't want violence, but have they mentioned Black Lives Matter and Antifa? No, they don't. President Trump has come out with his agenda. In contrast, while all you heard from the Democrat National Committee or conference convention was we hate Trump, orange man, bad. Allow me to just go a little bit into what President Trump says he's going to try to accomplish in his next 4 years. This is put out by his campaign. It's under 10 headings: jobs, eradicate COVID-19, ending our reliance on China, healthcare, education, drain the swamp, defend our police and illegal immigration, and protect American workers, innovate for the future, and America first foreign policy. And then he has different bullet points under those.
Well, this was
specifics.
Yeah, this is with the exception of things like COVID that didn't exist in 2016. This is what got him elected.
Yeah,
and so this is probably what's going to get him reelected if he wins on November 3rd. But all those kinds of things. Well, and I would also add defend the police because that's a new thing.
Yeah,
this is going to be a stark contrast because President Trump is not going to let the Biden campaign get away with saying nothing about what's happening in the inner cities. If and when they debate, and I know, Tim, you've said you're not sure that Biden will ever debate, Trump is going to put him on the spot. Are you for defunding the police? Are you for – you have a problem with the rioting and the looting that's gone on in the inner cities? And you know Biden's going to try to dance away from – those issues, Trump's not going to let him. He's going to corner him, and that has the potential to become one of those make or break moments in a public debate.
I'm not so sure if I haven't thought this out in great detail, but instinctively, I would tell if I were advising Joe Biden, I would say, don't debate.
Come up with some reason why you shouldn't. Yeah.
Yeah, come up with some, because let's look at this. I think everybody agrees it's not, if you had a Trump versus Biden debate, the chances are Trump's going to win that on substance and on probably on appearance, because he is more with it and more in command than Joe Biden is right now. I'm just talking about mentally.
Right.
I'm talking about physically, personality. That's why they don't want Joe Biden to get out of his basement.
Right.
Okay. There's a reason for that. That's because the Democrats acknowledge they're tacitly acknowledging what I've just said to be true. So if that's the case, then I would say if you think you're ahead. And you got a chance to win, and you don't have to come out of your basement, then don't risk it by doing a debate with President Trump. Just say, you know, whatever you want to say. Just say, I'm not debating this guy. He's a horrible human being.
Right.
People can make up their own minds in November, but I'm not giving this guy the credibility of appearing on the same stage with him. That's what you say.
And
I think the mainstream media would go along with that narrative, wouldn't they? Why wouldn't they? Everybody would on the left. They would say, absolutely. You tell them. Don't humanize this guy by doing a debate with him. He'll only lie anyway. So I could see that. When is the first debate, Steve? Do you know?
I think it's September, isn't
it? Yeah, it's coming up this next month. There's some headwinds, though. The polls are closing tighter. There's a long way between now and then. Joe Biden did not get a convention bounce at all. He was 10 points ahead, according to the CBS YouGov.
Where did he get a bounce from?
Well, he was 10 points ahead before. He's 10 points ahead after. It's only happened three times in the recent history. It happened to John Kerry in 2004, John McGovern in 72, and Mitt Romney in 2012.
Who did you say in 72?
George McGovern.
George McGovern, 72.
All of those people lost a lot, by a lot. They were all thrashed in their bid for the presidency.
Now, by the way, the 10-point lead for Biden you referenced, that's a national average, isn't it?
It's a CBS YouGov battleground tracker.
That's not the case. Again, folks, this is if you believe the polls, and I know
exactly.
Many of you don't, and I don't either, and I'm skeptical. I'm not saying I don't believe, but what I'm saying is there are some polls I do believe, and there's some polls I don't. But so we all have to make our minds up on those. I guess we'll find out ultimately on November 3rd. But if you were to believe a quote 10-point lead for Biden, that would include California, which is so far left, they're about to break off into the Pacific Ocean.
Just about.
But now my understanding is that the president and Joe Biden are very tight in battleground polls.
In Minnesota, they're tied.
Right.
Minnesota's a blue state.
Right. And the president did not win Minnesota in 2016, although it was close.
The same can be said in Wisconsin and Michigan. That most polls show Biden with a slight lead. Pennsylvania the same way. These are the same Rust Belt states, as they call them, or industrial Midwest,
right.
Although there's a lot of agriculture, too.
Right. According to Real Clear Politics, Biden's ahead by 5 points
those are very if
Minnesota.
If President Trump is to win, he will have to, win a majority of those states again. But he can, mm-hmm. because they're still very much in play. So when you give these numbers, not you, Steve, but these numbers, you have to factor in, are they oversampling Democrats? And that seems to be always the case. I don't know why they do that.
They do it because there are more Democrats in the registered to vote.
Okay. Well, the oversample Democrats. Yeah. Enthusiasm gap, too, is very real. Mm-hmm. There's nobody enthusiastically supporting Biden. The only reason most people are supporting Biden would be because they don't like Trump.
Which is why you had the message of the convention last week. The message was, we hate Trump, we got to get him out of there. But was it Steve said, orange man bad. So that really is the only way to energize your troops if you're on the Democratic left.
If I were the Biden campaign and I weren't ahead by 6 or 7 points in all these states on election day, I would be nervous. Because if it's showing up as a tie or a 1-point lead for Biden, then I'm going to tell you that Trump's ahead by 3 or 4, probably, or more. Huh?
Yeah. You mentioned.
Don't you agree with that analysis?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I would tend to guess that.
Yeah.
That because of the enthusiasm gap.
Yeah, and the liberal bias of the media.
Right.
On the polls, I think.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Steve.
Well, you mentioned whether or not Biden will come out and debate Trump. An ABC reporter actually asked Joe Biden. He's been saying consistently that he will debate President Trump. But an ABC reporter asked him why he's staying in his basement. Does he think that's a good strategy? Well, he does. Cut four.
But can you win a presidential election from home?
We will. We're going to follow the science, what the scientists tell us. We've been able to travel places when we've been able to do it in a way that we don't cause the congregation of large numbers of people. Look what happens, what's happened with his events. People die. People get together. They don't wear masks. They end up getting COVID. They end up dying.
So when you hear the president say this guy's afraid to leave his basement.
Guess what? I have left my basement. But here, in the meantime, 500 million people have watched what I've done out of my basement. And guess what? People are listening.
What did he say? 500 million people?
That's what he said.
There, five so this must include the Northern Hemisphere.
And Senegal, like, I think.
Like, like all of Central America, Mexico, and the U.S. combined right. have watched him.
Well, I think that's all the people he would like to vote for him in this next election.
This is...
Well, with mail-in voting,
yeah, duly noted, Ed, you beat me to it. There are 330 million people that live in the U.S., and he's telling us 500 million people have watched him. Now, why do you think CNN will do a fact check on Joe Biden? If Trump had said that, it would be all over the news. If he had said 500 million people are watching, have watched me.
Well, that's like the last church I pastored was 500,000 people. In my church.
Did you replace Paul Yonggi Cho
he's South counting Korea? the great cloud of witnesses.
What I'm saying is that's another example of Joe
Biden.
Yeah,
he's not going to get four Pinocchios on that one. They'll just say he misspoke. Come on, we all know.
He misspeaks all the time. What did he say? 100 million people were shot in America, killed? Recently, I mean, he said something like something crazy.
Oh, that was with gun violence. Yeah.
But he wasn't corrected. Did the reporter there say 500 million? Like
well,
we're saying,
it ended.
I don't know what they said after that. I doubt it. You would have heard it if he.
Yeah. Anyway, listen, I've said this before. And I'll say it again. And please don't misunderstand me. I'm going to vote for President Trump, and I don't doubt that he could win. Although, if you had have me guess, if I had to handicap it right now, and I'm not a betting man, I would put it 50-50.
That's what I would do.
Wouldn't you?
Yeah.
But so, having said that, I will say this: it will be a miracle if he wins. Miracles can happen.
Yes.
Miracles can happen. Look what happened in 2016. So President Trump, he's lived a charmed political life in the sense that he's overcome a lot of odds and can do it again. What happens remains to be seen. But listen, when I say a miracle, think of the forces that are opposing President Trump every day, all day. China, communist China and all their world power,
right,
and their money and their influence, they can't stand him.
Big social media,
Twitter, Facebook, YouTube,
universities, colleges, Hollywood.
You want to do this, or you want me?
I'm sorry.
You just get me excited.
My point? Okay, I'm sorry.
Huh?
I'm just getting me excited. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
And you're making it for me. Just follow my example because I never interrupt. You know, I never interrupt. You're right. Communist China, the big social media, the Democratic Party, the Republican deep state, the Never Trumpers, these Colin Powell,
right?
They're represented by Colin Powell, by John Kasich, by Jeff Flake. These Republicans, in name only, who believe it's better to elect a socialist Marxist than that they hate Trump so much,
right,
on a personal level, that they're going to side with the Marxist. And the socialist. Think about that.
I know.
You talk about Trump derangement syndrome. Then you've got all of Hollywood, all except for John Voight, poor fella. he's the only
And the
guy.
Girl from... Buffy the Vampire Slayer. She's conservative.
They're the only two. But all those forces and all the media, except for a few people, they're all aligned against him. So if he's able to pull this one off, you know what I'm saying? With all that again, I don't ever remember a president facing that much money, power, and influence in the history of our presidential elections. Do you?
Well,
especially with the advent of, I'll answer my own question like you did for you. Thank you, Ed, for your contributions.
That was funny, though.
Yeah.
Because so, I was just getting
Huh?
I was joining you on the soapbox.
The social media has changed things too, because it's instantaneous, and it's not fact checked hardly at all, unless you're President Trump, in which case Facebook and Twitter want to fact check you. All the
time.
Oh, not to mention the coronavirus, COVID,
yes,
and what it's done to slow down the economy. That's not a political force necessarily, but that's an economic misfortune that he's had to contend with too.
Yeah, and I'd add European heads of state. I'm just saying, to your point, I've never seen the amount of forces arrayed against any. And so,
now the Black Lives Matter organization,
yep,
too.
George Soros, all those guys. So if he is reelected, it will be clear to me that God wanted him reelected.
Well, let me give you the good
news. I'm not trying to drag God into it as, the explanation.
Republican or Democrat?
Or as the explanation for everything. I'm just saying without God, it would be impossible for a man in that position to get reelected.
I got the good news, though. You're right. All of those things are allied against President Trump every day. But today, Rasmussen Reports put out a presidential approval poll. President Trump is above water by 4 points. 51% approve of his job and performance, and 47% disapprove.
What to what now?
This is a presidential approval
poll
by Rasmussen that finds that Americans, Democrat and Republican combined, think the president is doing a good job. 51% say approve of his job, 47% disapprove.
Well, what the president has done and his advisors have done a good job, a really good job of, is since when he quit doing those daily, I think when his numbers started to go down, when he kept doing those daily COVID press conferences. You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Every day.
A couple hours.
Huh?
A couple hours a day.
Yeah, it was too much. And you, anybody that talks that much is going to get themselves in trouble, and it turned into a people were dealing with. We're dealing with a pandemic and how to deal with COVID and everything. And President Trump was seeming to get into little minor spats with reporters. And that was what made the news.
He's still doing that, by the way. Can I just really quickly play you how
Let me just finish my thought.
Go ahead.
And that is to say he has become much more disciplined about that kind of thing.
Right.
And he quit doing those daily press briefings. And I think that was a wise thing to do. That VP Pence handle it. You make some talk a couple days a week. Go ahead, Steve.
I just wanted to he's not done trolling the press. Listen to how he opened up his press conference in the White House briefing room the other day, Cut 12.
Good to see you all. Hope you had a great weekend at your convention.
I think you said President Trump is the troll of all trolls.
The troller in chief.
The troller in chief. Because that was... He basically said to all the reporters in there, I know you're all Democrats, and you were cheering on the Democrats at the convention. Did you enjoy your convention last week?
That was classic.
Because they're supposed to be unbiased, and we all know they're not.
Right?
I don't see how the guy holds up to it every day. Huh?
While eating Big Macs and drinking Diet Coke.
That can sustain a lot. Right?
A little comfort food.
All right. Thanks for joining us today, everybody. Appreciate you listening.
Pray for America.
Amen. We'll be back tomorrow. Thank you, Steve.
My pleasure.
Well, thanks to Fred Jackson. Brent Creeley, our producer. We appreciate him. Keep listening to AFR, folks. We'll see you back here tomorrow.